ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Nintendo World Report newscast. This will be episode 38 for Saturday, January 29th, 2011. I am your host this week, Zachary Miller. With me, as always, Andy Gergen.
Hey, what's up? Triumphant return.
Oh, yes, that's right. You were eaten by a bear last week, but you were vomited it up.
I was trying to maintain my sanity, being chased around my house by a 13-week-old dog.
Fun.
I like the eaten by a bear story better, personally.
More drama.
How about eaten by a dog? We can compromise.
Nope. All right, yeah, that's right. Your audio was eaten by a dog last week.
Sure was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that other voice you hear, that crooning melody, is Nathan Mustafa.
Crooning, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to be here with you two. Who isn't here?
Oh, there's that other guy. Who's
there's a guy
sometimes.
That is now mysteriously too important to be here with us. I think it's a little odd that the very first week that Neil is promoted to site director,
skips out on newscast. Congratulations, Neil.
Yeah, congrats, Neil. Thanks for, you know, ditching the kiddie pool here.
He'll be on RFN next.
Yeah, actually, site direct his way into that.
Yeah, he will. Neil's actually in New York at a Mario Sports Mix event, and he was running late coming home, so he'll be able to talk about Mario Sports Mix on the next episode, but for now, he can talk about the bus ride home.
Yeah, to be fair, Neil's actually out contributing to NWR in a way much more relevant than any of us are right now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Neil.
But with
his absence,
the show will only be about a half hour long, so...
Right.
We can jump right on into our... We just have some introductory stuff. We didn't really screw up last week. We said this because it wasn't really known, but we said that the eShop was not going to be available on day one for the 3DS, but as it turns out, that will be a patch in Europe. It's been confirmed. Mm-hmm. Has not been confirmed at this time, at the time of recording this episode for the United States, but I'd be shocked if it didn't come over here too.
Right. Actually, why don't we go ahead and just bitch about that right now and then be wrong about it tomorrow?
Let's do it, yeah.
All right.
No, that's kind of cool that they'll have that ready to go. Hopefully they'll have that ready to go. I mean, I'm not going to buy one at launch, so it doesn't really matter to me that much.
No, me neither.
But
no.
For those of you who are buying it at launch, you will have to not live without your Mario Land for, you know, the first couple of weeks.
That's true. Yeah, you can have your ancient game. Enjoy.
Yeah. Hey,
well,
an ancient
game that I love, by the way.
Yeah, good.
It was the very first video game I ever played. So
I mean, I loved that game back in the day, but I'm not entirely sure the platforming mechanics quite hold up.
The physics are a little weird.
The physics are definitely a little wonky for Mario Land.
Yeah, when I was 2.5 years old, I was walking around the living room and I opened up the cabinet and there was a Game Boy sitting there completely untouched.
Porn?
I had to sift through all of that. I didn't know what it was. And then I found something even more intriguing, the Game Boy. And I was like, what's this? And my dad's like, oh, that's an anniversary gift from your mom. And I never use it. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, well, it'll be too hard for you. And then I played Mario for a long time. So,
I love Super Mario Land. I got stuck on the big seahorse boss when I was little.
Loser.
My dad figured out that you can shoot out the brick wall behind him and just kind of skip past him.
Yeah. No. Yeah, my dad's always sucked at it. Always. And when I would get stuck, apparently, I don't remember too much of it, but apparently he would try and help me, and according to my mom, he would always fail. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, that's your eShop news. Andy, you weren't here last week. You were being terrorized by a canine.
Eaten by a dog.
Eaten by a dog. What are your thoughts about the 3DS now that we actually know more about it, thanks to the, you know, whatever. You know what I mean?
I think the hardware itself looks really slick. I still think $250. I know that's the price everyone predicted, and I predicted it too. I am still not really convinced it's the right price for that system. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but I kind of feel like $250 is a bit high for a Nintendo handheld.
Well, and how about the $40 to $50 games that we're seeing?
See, and that's really where it gets me. Like, okay, yeah. So if all retail games are $40 to $50, like that's a failure waiting to happen. And
it is.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll quote me on that after the 3DS has sold 7 trillion copies.
Mm-hmm. But,
I kind of feel like they really have to establish a budget marketplace that's better than DSiWare. Not digging on DSiWare, but they have to have an app store like the iPhone has to complement those 40. I mean, 40, $50 games are going to be the kind of game that you can't play on an iPhone. I think everyone knows that. You know, your Mario games, your deep RPGs, the kind of games you need to have a control pad and the kind of games that really utilize the 3D well. That's clear. But they've got to have the other market too. They've got to cater to both ends. Otherwise, man, it's gonna be one of those things where hardly anyone buys the games new. Everyone's gonna wait for the games to fall to $15-$20 on the used market, and that's not gonna help anyone.
Well, see, and the problem is it's always been kind of hard to get to Nintendo's virtual game, you know, like on the Wii and on the DS. Most people don't poke around like that. The thing with an iPhone is, or an iPod, when you sync your music, you're halfway to getting to the games, because there's just that little apps thing. Right. You're like, oh, what's this? And then there are all these cheap games right there. And
that's the thing. They're cheap games, but often they're very good.
Yeah,
more often than not.
Maybe not
crap.
Often they're very good, but you know what? You know, you can.
There are plenty of good little fun time wasters.
Have enjoyed Tilt to Live on my iPod Touch as much as I've enjoyed just about any DS game in the past 2 years.
And the whole world loves Angry Birds and Plants vs.
Angry
Zombies.
Birds, yeah.
Angry Birds. No.
Geodefense, I'm a big fan of the Geodefense games on iPhone.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
There's a Dead Space game on iPhone, iPad now.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it's great. It is great.
I do feel like the games that succeed best on the iOS platforms are the ones that aren't trying to be console games ported down to that platform.
Right, yes.
But, I mean, it's just, when you can buy Madden for $10 on iPhone and they're going to sell it for $30 to $50 on 3DS, I mean, yeah, the presence of the control pad is awesome, but that shouldn't make the game itself cost $30 more.
You're right.
And that's my bitch. And I've been bitching about this for two. I feel like I've been bitching about this nonstop for 2 weeks. So
we have done a lot of iPhone talk as of late.
I like the hardware itself. I think it's solid. I'm looking forward to trying one out. That said, my gaming purchases are pretty limited these days. I'm not able to spend as much money as I would like. A $250 system is just completely out of the question.
Do you think do you think they'll revise the look of the system, you know, before too long, like within a year, will they announce a 3DSi?
You know, for the past year, all I've heard people say is, of course they're going to do it, and it'll happen quickly. But within the last couple of weeks, all I've heard people say is, it's not going to happen for the foreseeable future. It seems like there's been a real change of opinion on a mass scale regarding.
You know what? And we all kind of actually agreed that there would be another iteration on our predictions.
At some point.
On our predictions episode.
Yeah, I think there will be. I think I may be backing off from my prediction a little bit that there will be a 3G connection because I don't know. It just seems like that may be a little bit more infrastructure than Nintendo really feels like dealing with. I still think it'd be an awesome addition, but I do think that, you know, the battery life's a little weak. That's something that they can improve. And to be perfectly honest, with things like the GBA Micro and the DSi XL and the DSi itself, really, they've proven that they'll release a new version of a handheld even if there's not a particularly compelling reason to do so.
Right.
So with that in mind, yeah, sure, I think there'll be a 3DS 2, 3DS Lite, 3DSi, whatever you want to call it. I'm not sure if it'll happen within the first year of the system. I kind of doubt it. I think maybe it could be a summer 2012 kind of thing, or maybe even a holiday 2012 kind of thing. And I was originally kind of planning on waiting for that, but we'll see if I can come across enough cash at once that I can feel compelled to drop $250. I still think that in the age of the iPhone, the 3DS could be a tougher sell than most are predicting. And if that's the case, and especially if the PSP2 launches, and does well, you know, it's not inconceivable that there could be a price drop come this holiday season. That said, it's probably pretty unlikely. But if there is, that's probably all it would take for me to find a way to pick it up. But
you know, the more I don't hear anything official from Sony about the PSP2, the less worried I am about it. Once the 3DS press conference happened, that was their window to come out and say, fuck you, Nintendo, look what
we have. Zach, everyone's talking about, I think people are saying that they have an event scheduled for the 27th.
Right.
27th, really?
Yeah, which would be in two days from recording. Yeah, so, you know, by the time this episode comes out, we might know more about PSP2.
Here's what really concerns me about the 3DS, and I'm trying to keep my opinions fairly rational and not be too whiny. Not trying to complain too much on here. Here's what concerns me about
the
3DS.
We're not talking about Zelda, so you're fine.
A lot of people have observed, and I think rightfully so, that a large portion of the reason the 3DS was so successful in comparison to the PSP is because the kind of software made on DS is more conducive to playing on the go. We're talking things like Mario and Picross and, you know, maybe not Pokemon's a good example of that, but in general, Tetris, I guess. In general, the kinds of software being developed on DS is more conducive to playing on the go than the PSP, which is basically downsized ports of PS2 games.
PS2,
right?
Yeah, PS2 handheld.
You can always put your PSP in sleep mode whenever you like, but I think the metaphor or analogy, I don't know what it would be called, of closing your DS like a book to pause any game has a big part in that too. Because you can close it, and it's like, you know what, I'm just going to close it for now, and it's away.
It's a mindshare thing. I know that if I'm sitting down to play an RPG or to play like a game with a beefy campaign mode, I need to have at least 5 to 10 minutes to watch the opening cutscene for starters.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest, when I play Picross, I probably rarely play for more than 20 minutes at a time, if that.
Yeah.
I'll close my DS for 5 minutes and pick it right back up, you know?
Yeah.
It's just,
well, and
it's
you
just,
know,
that's
to,
the way
to be
I
fair,
play.
That's how I play most of my PSP RPGs anyways.
Yeah.
You know, so it just depends on what kind of games you like, and it depends on how well the games are tailored to it. So some RPGs can be really crappy to play portably. But you know, like the ones that let you save anywhere or, you know, stuff like that. Certainly not Final Fantasies. That make you run around looking for a crystal, are fine for portable, you know.
And I guess what I'm getting at with this is I kind of feel like Nintendo's going the opposite direction with a 3DS. They're not going there wholesale. They're not going there all the way, but they're showing off software that seems to be more in depth. They're showing off beefier games, and they've said before that what differentiates their product from the iPhone is these kinds of beefier games, your Mario's and, you know, your Kirby Canvas Curse, and these are the kinds of games that are meatier experiences, and I don't think that's what made the DS the success that it was.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like the iPhone is getting more successful as a gaming platform for the exact same reason the DS was so successful.
I think you're underestimating the value in having a very long form game for children, because a lot of kids like the Pokemon series and other games that they can spend a long time with, you know, like a good Mario game or an Animal Crossing. I mean, you can spend tons of time with those.
Let me ask you this.
That's not necessarily what made the system so successful.
Let me ask you this.
Well, look at which ones sell.
Do you think Pokemon made the DS successful, let's go back to the Game Boy. Do you think Pokemon made the Game Boy successful, or the Game Boy made Pokemon successful?
I think Pokemon kept the Game Boy alive.
The game was good in and of itself, but I don't think the game would have been unsuccessful on a console. Do you think the game would have been less successful on whatever console was prevalent at the time?
It definitely would have been less successful on a console. I think that long form game that was centered around trading with people, putting a lot of time in, it's good to give it to a kid to shut up, you know, in the car. People use it all the time, you know, in the car, on any sort of trip, waiting for stuff. And if you can give a kid a game they can play for a long time, it's great.
Well, and to be fair, the most prevalent genre on DS over the past year or two has been RPGs. So
yeah,
maybe I'm crazy. I just kind of feel like it's games more like Picross and Tetris that made Nintendo the handheld giant as it is today than games like Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy. But Pokemon does kind of throw a wrench into that theory, so
yeah.
Take it with a grain of salt. Anyway, that's all I got to say on the 3DS. I'm not gonna spend too long talking about it. I mean, it looks good. It's a nice piece of tech. And when I have the money for it, I'll happily pick one up. I'm kind of hoping that it'll be cheaper when I do. But
yeah.
Resident Evil.
What?
Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah, that looks great.
That's what's going to make me buy it. I said Residence, I'm sorry.
I thought you were talking about something else entirely. Apparently the S on the end of that first word.
I thought you were having trouble really speaking or something.
Really threw me off the scent.
I have a drinking problem.
Resident Evil. You were mixing wine with weed, weren't you?
I can't deny that.
Okay.
Why don't we move into some news?
Let's news it up.
We
don't have a ton of news.
No.
But it's all good news. I like to think we have quality over quantity.
Yes.
For instance, GameStop. Pulling.
Oh, GameStop.
GameStop, the ever-inventive GameStop. Would you like to pre-order a game that we're not sure when it's coming? Or how much it will cost?
Yeah. Here's a list.
Go ahead.
Yeah, basically, GameStop has a list that they're handing out to customers who want to pre-order DS or 3DS games. That it's got to have like no real basis in reality because they have three games coming out or two games coming out like 2 weeks before the 3DS launches.
Three games launching before the 3DS comes out.
And basically, every Nintendo first party IP is hitting on June 2nd. It seems.
Nice.
All on the same day, so.
Let me tell you, if this was real, I would buy a 3DS at launch.
Yeah, no doubt.
Mario Bros. 2, nice!
If I knew by June, I would get June 2nd, I would get Animal Crossing 3D, Mario Kart 3D, and Paper Mario 3D, and then, you know, the chance to buy Ocarina of Time
3D. They're all called 3D.
Yes, everything 3D, everything. But if that was a real day, I would be so excited for that day.
It's not.
I know.
And I know. And I wrote the news story on this one, so I can pretty much.
And then they get so specific because they know that the day before June 2nd, June 1st, not a normal release date, mind you, we're getting Cartoon Network Super Toon Rumble.
Nice.
But anyways, there's a whole list on the site with prices, dates, completely nonsensical.
What's that site, sir?
That is IGN.com /Nintendo
.FAQ.
No.
I guess the bigger news with that story was that they priced all of the games between $40 and $50, which is, you know, that's what we've been talking about for a while now. That's the price range. It was kind of a strange assortment of games. It seems like all the first-party stuff was $40.
Everything's $40 except for Dead or Alive Dimensions and Samurai Warriors.
Okay. How much are those? $50.
You're paying the $10 premium so that you can get it 2 weeks, before
early.
Launch.
That's true.
You got to read that
manual.
I
can recall that GameCube launched a couple of titles before the system came out. Rogue Leader and Monkey Ball, I think, were both on shelves before the system actually launched. I seem to recall buying those games and just staring at the discs lovingly, waiting for that Sunday.
Hey, I bought Metal Gear 4 before I had a PS3, and I was like, it's going to be so cool when I can play this.
Yeah. Next story, Epic Mickey, the developer of Epic Mickey, which is a developer, I believe, called Junction Point. Let's confirm that real quick, shall we?
Oh god, I wonder if any like really crappy news sites titled this post "Epic Fail."
Oh god.
Wow.
Okay, I'm gonna reintro.
Yeah, probably.
Someone did it. I thought of it. Someone must have actually done it.
So for our next story, Epic Mickey, the developer, Junction Point, which is the one owned by Warren Spector, got a whole bunch of layoffs. About 700 employees at the company, and about half of them got affected. That half does not include, of course, Warren Spector himself. That's unfortunate. I mean, the game did really well in December. I think it sold really, really well. So, you know, it wasn't a super critical success, but it doesn't really have to be. It's kind of surprising they'd have that much, you know, of a problem with their budget that they'd have to let go of half the studio.
Yeah.
I think that just kind of goes to show you how ridiculous game development is these days. Like, even if you do have a major success, you still can't. I mean, the same thing happened with, like, Red Dead Redemption. Didn't most of the staff of that get fired after I think the entire studio was closed.
Wow.
After that game came out.
Really? Yeah,
that game was a huge success.
I mean, what more can you ask for? I mean, yeah, the development was kind of a debacle, but I'm fairly certain the game made up for it in sales.
Jeez.
So that just kind of goes to show you how ridiculous the game development environment is these days. Like, you really have to have a major franchise and guaranteed sales to be safe, and even then, it's risky. Actually, a coworker of mine's son works for it was Rockstar San Diego, I think. Worked for them before they got laid off. She used to stop by my desk and be like, "Have you heard of a game called Red Dead Redemption? My son works on that game." She knew I like video games, apparently. And I was like, "Yeah, I guess." And then she came by one day and said, "They fired my son."
Oh,
and I
Lord.
Guess he went off and worked at he got a new job at the studio that makes Mod Nation Racers, so I think he's doing okay now. But yeah,
they're still putting out DLC for that game.
Yeah, I wonder who's making it.
Have you ever played it?
No, but I heard it's on sale this week. I might have to pick it up.
The load times are just game-breakingly terrible.
Really? I hadn't heard that.
Like I sat through a 3-minute load time to get to a race.
On Red Dead or on the DLC?
No, not on Red Dead. I'm talking about Mod Nation.
I've never played Mod Nation.
It's fun. It's a good Mario Kart game, but the load times, like I say, awful, awful, awful.
Pretty crazy, huh? Next news story, the producer of the Street Fighter series for Capcom.
The magic of editing will fix this. Just start over, Andy.
So the next news story, the producer for the Street Fighter series, who is named... Oh my god, I still fucked this up. The producer for the Street Fighter series, Yoshinori Ono, apparently expressed interest at a 3DS roundtable discussion and doing a Capcom versus Nintendo fighting game with Sakurai.
Yeah.
He basically just said he'd love it if someone pitched the idea to Sakurai after the guy finished, Kid Icarus.
Well, I think we can all. Was like, 4 feet taller than Mario.
I think we can all pretty much, yeah, confirm that that would be an amazing game. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the direction the Smash Brothers can take. Just take the roster that's there right now and launch it against other franchises. Just throw Street Fighter versus Smash Brothers. Done. Capcom versus
There you go. Capcom versus Nintendo.
I wonder if Nintendo would like force it to be loaded though. You know, like a Nintendo
character. I doubt it.
You know, like the Super Nintendo.
They didn't make Sonic weak in that game, did they?
No, they didn't. He's not great, but he's not terrible.
Well, he's crap.
It depends on the characters that were there. I mean, it's the Street Fighter characters are pretty iconic. I mean, most people.
Snake is pretty good.
Snake, yeah.
No, I think it'd be a great game. And let's be clear here. This game is not happening. At least not right now. Like, this is just a guy.
This is a pipe dream.
One of the guys who would have to be involved in it said he would like it to happen at a public event. Well, maybe not public event. A press event at a round table without anybody really, signing any paperwork. So
yeah. And Nintendo probably wouldn't allow it to cross any systems.
And it's not. This isn't really news. It's just wishful thinking. That would
still
be awesome.
Still cool wishful thinking.
Yeah, definitely. The next news story, and I'm not even sure if this got mentioned on the last show. I don't recall it while I was editing.
I don't know if we knew it at the time.
Well, it was sort of, I was looking at the news stories on the site, and this was sort of buried within the same time frame as all the other ones that came out during the press conference.
This is so great.
The 3DS is going to have the friend code system again, but it's completely revamped. So basically, you just have one friend code for your entire system. All of the games will use it. And you'll be able to maintain a friends list directly within the menu of the system where you can see which one of your friends are online and what they're playing.
Yeah, light will light up when one of your friends is online.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically exactly what Xbox Live does, just minus the gamer tag, which is fine. I don't think anybody really necessarily needs to, have the ability to call themselves, you know, smoked you XXX underscore X, the ridiculous kind of names on Xbox Live. A number is fine. The point isn't that you get to have an online identity. The point is that you get to maintain a centralized list of contacts, which is exactly what was missing on every other system they put out thus far. So,
right.
Awesome.
Now,
if
I could say one thing about this, you know, on RFN and on Player One Podcast, and I'm sure other gaming podcasts, everyone was saying what a huge improvement what this is and how happy we all are that they're doing it. But I see it as kind of like, you know, finally.
Right.
You know, like they're just now getting up to the standard that's been around for 5 years now. And
yeah, absolutely. I think
people are giving them way too much credit for just now reaching that finish line.
Well, it's the same deal with the storage solution on the Wii, right? You know, that came out, what, 2 years, 3 years after Wii launched, and everyone was cheering. But really, you're right on the money. I mean, we shouldn't be cheering. We should be like, okay, thanks for finally fixing a day one problem 3 years later.
Let's be fair, that SD storage card solution, that was a begrudging, I don't think they wanted to do that ever, but it had to be done.
Yeah, I mean, if they wanted their downloadable service to be even kind of successful, it had to be done. Because I seem to recall, like, by the time they launched that, it was almost impossible for anybody I knew to download any more games because their system was filled up.
Right,
and
they weren't doing
any fridge rearranging. Because that's a dumb solution.
But yeah, I am glad it's in place. It is some progress, and
yes, try not to complain too much. It's nice that it's there, and really, it'll just be. I mean, there hasn't been a really awesome centralized friend system on a handheld that I know of. I'm sure the PSP has something, but
no, not even
no,
I don't
no,
think
no,
the PSP has friend codes. No, I mean even system IDs.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
And actually, I kind of prefer having a number as opposed to having to pick
a
name.
As opposed to
a, you know,
potentially racial slur on your friend's, you know,
something
well,
no,
pops
no, no.
up
it,
and you're
it,
like,
it just,
oh, great,
it,
that guy's online.
I'm not really friends with those kind of people. but no, it just lets me pick a name without worrying about, like, has someone taken this name?
I see.
You know?
Yes, yes, definitely.
I can be whatever I want to be, and yeah,
it's... It's like, I think Johnny said it on RFN, it's like a telephone number. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, exactly.
And one last story, Conduit 2.
Shock and horror.
This is one that's not related to 3DS at all. I guess we haven't had a lot of 3DS news this week. Anyway, Conduit 2 delayed till late March.
Yes.
Used to be a February 15 release, now it's coming out in late March. I don't think they really gave any reason. I don't suppose you really need to have a reason. It just needs probably more polish, so. If you are really, really itching to play Conduit 2, then, I don't know, that's kind of surprising, because I haven't heard a lot of hype for this game, but, has this game got hype? Am I wrong?
No, you're thinking Conduit 1, which got hype and then failed to live up to those expectations.
Right.
Conduit 2 coverage has been pretty either missing or meh. You know?
Right. I mean, I think it'll probably be a pretty good game, but I don't really hear anybody excited about this game.
I don't think it's going to be a big seller. I really don't.
Right.
Like, the first one, I don't think the first one was a big seller, but at least they advertised it. I'm not seeing any of that for 2.
I think the first one hit Newegg for $12 within, like, 3 months of release, which is
not a
good sign.
That's pretty painful. No.
Of course, I mean, obviously most of the news is 3DS related, but we covered a lot of that last week, so that's all the news we have.
That is
really
the news.
That's all, folks.
All of our newses.
Please enjoy.
And that's the podcast. No,
no. No. Not even.
No, there's more. There's bonus content this week.
Well, Mr. Host.
We got some tweets. We got some tweets and voicemails.
Oh, we got no tweets, we got no voicemails.
No. But we did get a lot of emails.
We did, actually.
And it was cool. You know, last week, Neil put out a challenge to our listeners saying, or he bet that nobody listens to our podcast independently of, like, RFN or the site. But it turns out he's wrong. And we got at least three emails this week from people who just found the NWR newscast on their own without being directed from other NWR-related things.
Hey, Greg. That's you. No, yeah, that was actually really cool. We had one. I'll read this off this first email from this guy.
This one comes in from Neil's mother.
Technically, her name is David, and she writes, Hey, NWR crew, just want to let you know that there may be some people who listen to your podcast who didn't find it through the website, and here's why. I have a Facebook fan page called Nintendo Focused Podcasts, and I post your episodes on there. Also, it's one of the page's fans that suggested your podcast to me in the first place, so there you go. Keep up the good work. Cheers. So,
that's pretty
David
awesome.
has a web page dedicated to us and others, I guess, which is awesome. I actually became a fan of that page on Facebook immediately
I'll
after
have to
reading
do that
this email.
As well.
And yeah, he posts updates from about, I think, 10 to 15 different Nintendo-focused podcasts on there, including us. So that's really fantastic, and thanks for listening, David. And it's great to know that there's people out there that are actually coming across our podcast without even, you know, being coerced to listen to it as a third option when RFN and Radio Trivia aren't updated yet.
You know what? We're the third pillar.
That means we're replacing everything else.
Listen, we're not replacing anything. We're a third pillar. We're, you know.
Although, now that Neil's site director, I mean, you know, not saying RFN's got to watch out, but hey.
Not saying Neil's going to leave us for RFN like he probably already has today, but hey.
On the bus on the way home, he's just talking to Lauren like, I don't know what to do. I mean, RFN's where the director hangs out. I'm the director now.
It's true.
Mario.
He's
going
to create a new podcast entirely. That's just him, Johnny, Lindy, well, all of them plus him, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but that's cool. Hey, Andy, do you know if that guy's Facebook page, I'm too lazy to go there right now. Do you know if it has a Radio Trivia podcast?
I don't know if it does or not, but it wouldn't be surprising because I actually looked onto – I found the post where someone recommended our podcast to him, and they just linked to the site. So,
oh, okay.
It's
so
possible.
He'll surely see it.
It's possible he saw that on there. But if not, we should definitely make sure that he finds that.
Hell yeah.
And we have another email that came in a while ago, and we really apologize for not reading this earlier. We got kind of sidetracked with all of our end-of-the-year and 2011 prediction stuff.
And then the 3DS. And
the 3DS hit, and this is an email we've been sitting on for a while now.
Okay.
Just do it.
Must be Bert from the forum writes, like many others, I played the crap out of Mario Kart Wii when it first came out. However, after I unlocked everything, the online mode is all I really go back to. I have to say I'm really surprised that Nintendo still continues to release a tournament every 2 weeks, as am I. What surprises me about this is that they are actually putting in some effort by adding additional features to the tracks. For example, the current one has chain chomps on Rainbow Road, much like the N64 version. I do realize that they are recycling some of these, but I have some questions for you guys in case you have any inside scoops.
Spoiler alert, no.
No.
No. Number one, do you guys go back to Mario Kart Wii to participate in the tournaments? If so, what do you think of their quality? Let's answer that right away. I do not.
I don't own Mario Kart
Wii, because I like
them.
I like Mario Kart, and it worked really well online, but I don't really have any interest in playing online against strangers. Well, I guess tournaments isn't online against strangers, though. That's just like setting your own time, right?
Right, yeah, it is.
Mm. Yeah, I mean... Fun. I'm really happy that they're still doing it, but no, I don't really go back and play those.
I'm really surprised they are.
Yeah.
Question two, how long do you think Nintendo will continue to release the tournaments? Till the Wii 2 launches, maybe? Hmm. No, I'll bet until Mario Kart 3DS comes out, which is apparently June 1st.
June 2nd,
sorry.
And then all of their resources will go to Mario Kart 3DS.
Yeah, I bet they'll do it for. I bet they'll keep it up for maybe another, like maybe the rest of this year at that. It can't be forever. I mean, didn't they drop the Smash Brothers thing about a year and a half after it came out?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So.
So there you go. And question three: Do you think there will be ever, I can just say no to this right
no.
now.
Yeah.
Do you think there will ever be any downloadable content for Mario Kart Wii, like more characters, carts, bikes, or retro tracks? If they haven't done it yet, they aren't doing it anymore.
Yeah.
Also, are the extra features we're seeing actually on the disc already? I mean, the assets and resources are there.
Yeah.
They're really just throwing you, you know, coding.
Right, they're just combining assets that haven't previously been combined into
right.
one track. I mean, the assets are already on the disc, but I guess he says, do you think they'll let us access that content at will? Well,
no.
That, I think what you're asking for is a stage editor, and no, you're not going to get that,
right.
Which it would be awesome, but I don't really think that's going to happen. And there's not going to be any downloadable content because the hooks for that are not in the game. They'd have to patch the game for that to work. And they
right.
can't patch the game because that's not really a thing you can do on the Wii with retail games. You can do it with downloadable games, and they've done it before, but if the game is on the disc, what's on the disc is all you're getting.
Yes.
So no, it's unfortunate. It would be cool. And I wouldn't be shocked if we saw something like that for Wii 2 Mario Kart or even 3DS Mario Kart, but yeah,
I think a track editor would be. I can see that going in to Mario Kart 3DS. You know, they do it with Mod Nation Racers.
You know, I
could
see them doing that.
PS3,
especially since Nintendo's not big on downloadable content outside of like Picross and the Layton games, so basically puzzles. Like they're not trying to protect anything. You know, you don't get
right.
that for Call of Duty because they don't want people making new or better maps without having to pay $15 for a map pack. You know,
they do it with the Halo games with that Forge mode.
They do, but what Halo does is, we're going to put out these new maps, and now you can't play on the modes that you used to enjoy until you buy these
really?
Maps. Yeah, I found that out a while back. You had to have every single map pack, and it's just, oh, my God. And, there was a big stink about it. One of the map packs came out in two parts, and so if
nice.
You had only bought the first part of, I think it was like the Mythic map pack, you know, you could not play the Mythic map pack playlist because you need to have Pope.
Oh, jeez.
That's
retarded.
Friggin' mess.
Well, there you go.
But,
I can see a track editor being in one of these games. I mean, they had a stage editor in Brawl.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Might be the kind of thing that they could even do with 3DS connectivity. You know, they could have you download the track editor to your 3DS and do it,
yeah.
you know, kind of off screen and then re-upload it. They had a similar deal with Animal Crossing on the GBA.
And they do that with Mega Man powered up on the PSP.
Sure.
I'd like to see a stage editor for like a Mario game. 2D Mario.
I don't think we're ever going to get that.
I doubt it, but people could get really creative with that stuff.
They could, yeah.
New Super Mario Bros. Do it yourself.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
I mean, that would be awesome, yeah, but don't think it's happening.
Seems unlikely.
Yep.
Well, apologies to Must Be Bert for not responding sooner, but hey, we did now, and you can learn more about these tournaments at a link we will post in the show notes.
Sounds good. I can do that.
Or you can also insert the Mario Kart Wii disc into your Wii and get on the Wi-Fi and click on the tournaments.
I think you have to install the Mario Kart channel to your Wii first.
Get into tournaments. Well, figure it out. It's not hard.
Well, and you can look at them online. It's at us.wii.com/mktournament_11.jsp.
Well, there you go.
Or you can just Google Mario Kart Tournament like I did to get that link. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that wraps up listener mail. Thank you for all who wrote in. Please continue to do so. We'd like to love to make this a semi-regular feature.
Definitely.
We love getting feedback from all you listeners out there in listener land.
Like Neil said last week, I can reiterate that it just kind of delights me that anybody pays attention to us whatsoever. So
yeah, exactly.
Keep it up.
My family doesn't even listen to this podcast.
Well, you know, I think
actually that's not true. My mom listened to one episode, but she turned it off because she thought Neil had too dirty a mouth.
Oh,
well, he does. To be fair.
Wow.
Well,
but
let's
harsh.
Move on. Let's move on to the next segment.
This just in, Neil too dirty for Zach's mother.
That's the episode title.
And
right
you thought
there.
It couldn't be done.
Oh.
Andy, oh, what are Lordy. You reviewing, man?
I don't have, like, anything super awesome to talk about, but I have a couple of downloadable titles to share. So, a couple of weeks ago, they put out a call for a review on a DSiWare game called Dodo Go, and I raised my hand and said I would do it mainly because, hey, I got a DSi from staff. I probably should take these on from time to time, even though I didn't know anything about the game, nor did I really care at the time. It was actually called Dodo Go Challenge, is the full title. So I said okay, and they gifted me a code, and I downloaded the game, and I sat down to play it while I was watching some TV. And what I found was that this is a game that is impossible to play. And by that, I mean, okay, here's basically what happened. The company who makes this game, I believe it's called Nico Entertainment, although I could be mistaken about that. The company who made this game made a game called Dodo Go and put it out on DSiWare. And then they basically put out a sequel to the game, or maybe not even a sequel. They basically took a full game and split it in half. And the second half of that game is a separate downloadable title called Dodo Go Challenge, and it's significantly more difficult than the first one. It doesn't walk you through any of the tutorials that the first one walks you through.
Mm.
It's basically like you play – it's basically if like Picross was split into like two or three downloadable games by difficulty, and you were asked to review the hard levels first.
Oh.
And that includes the fact that you didn't go through a tutorial because that happened earlier in the game. So, like, if you sat down to just play an incredibly hard stage without any context whatsoever, that's what happened, basically. So I Googled it to figure out maybe if I had accidentally skipped a tutorial of some sort, and what I found was that the tutorial was actually – there's actually about two dozen or more tutorial videos located – two options deep inside the option menu. So I went and started watching those. And I started to get a handle on what I was supposed to do. But even then, it took me over an hour to figure out how to solve the first of 100 stages.
Oh, Lord.
And so I thought, holy crap. And then I tried the second stage for about another 40 minutes and got nowhere. Other than I did learn how to burn half of the stage down. here's the problem, though. Like, the game seemed pretty cool. I kind of liked the graphics. I mean, the art style was a little, you know, junior classic games, so to speak. It was a little kiddie, but it was colorful. Frame rate was good. Some of the gameplay concepts that I could see from the tutorial video seemed kind of fun. It's kind of like Lemmings a little bit. Basically, you have these tools that you have to use to manipulate the environment so your brain dead little character can get across the stage to the exit. But the levels get incredibly complex. So basically I decided that there's no way I can review this game without playing the first game first. So sure. we got in contact with the developer and we got a gift code for the first game. So I've been playing through that one and I'm actually really enjoying it. And I'm looking forward to going back to the challenge game now that I've gotten a handle on the way these puzzles are solved. But it's just really bizarre that they would even release the second one as a standalone product. Yeah. It's not a standalone product. It's very much the second half of a previous game. It's just really bizarre. But it's kind of fun, and I'm hoping to have the reviews for both of them up, you know, before too much longer. But if you like games like Lemmings, sort of like stage, like big 2D stage puzzle games where you have to get across a whole bunch of different environmental sort of puzzles to get to the exit, this is sort of that, and it's pretty well done so far. On top of that, I've been playing some games for the Virtual Console Recommendations feature on the site. Within the last couple days, I've logged about two or three hours into Rondo of Blood, Castlevania, which is a lot of fun, hard as nails. But it's sort of an interesting game just because it's very much a crossroads in the franchise where you can see a lot of staples from older Castlevania games, and you can see a lot of things being done for the first time that would be carried into later Castlevania games.
Yep.
It's a really interesting entry into the franchise. I'm looking forward to playing through more of that.
Is it weird seeing character sprites from, you know, Order of Ecclesia back in.
No, I don't think that's actually true. The graphics in this game actually look. I mean, it's a TurboGrafx-16 game. I think it's actually a pretty good looking TG-16 game. What it really looks like is more of like a mid era Genesis game. Yeah. That's what it feels like when I'm playing it.
Yeah, Zach, I think the recycling of Castlevania games, not necessarily the content of the games, started a little. I think that started during the GBA era, right?
I think it probably started with Aria of Sorrow. That was the.
Yeah.
That's the one that looks like all the other ones on DS.
Yeah.
It was Harmony of Dissonance. The second Game Boy Advance game had a lot of sprites from Rondo and Symphony of the Night. No, Circle of the Moon had entirely new assets because it was not developed or it was not produced by Igarashi.
Okay. Mm. I will say that if you go back and play Harmony of Dissonance, or is that right?
Harmony of Dissonance is awful.
If you go back and play Harmony of Dissonance and then go play the next one, Aria of Sorrow, you'll see that there is a pretty significant graphical jump between those two games. So while there is a lot of recycling of assets done in this series, it's pretty clear that going forward from Aria of Sorrow, they started over. Maybe a few sprites here and there, but I think they
recycle some sprites purely for fan service purposes.
Probably, yeah. And the other game I've been playing is the Ninja Gaiden arcade game, which is probably the worst game I've played in years. Like, seriously, I can't, you know, I wrote this in the recommendation that's going up on the site tomorrow, but when you play it, like a 20-year-old game on the virtual console, the question that kind of comes to mind is, does it hold up?
Yeah.
Does it hold up sort of implies that it was ever fun to begin with. I can't fathom
being not fun.
I can't fathom anybody ever enjoying this thing. It's ridiculously awful. It's a Double Dragon style beat 'em up where your character moves at a third of the speed of Double Dragon, and like five hits kills you and you die all the time because there's like 20, not 20, there's like five or six characters against you at all times. They're all the same speed as you, which means that you can't fight them all at once. It's just so bad. It doesn't have any of the cinematic stuff that would come into the NES game. They basically completely changed the formula of it for the NES release, and it was way for the better.
Andy, if this is the worst game you've played, I'll gladly introduce you to some games in my review catalog.
You should play Homie Rollers.
Oh my god, that was a game, huh? I always thought it was just
somebody actually made it and
isn't that based on like the crappy little dolls you would get from
Oh my god. It's a kart racer that makes you go dizzy and blind.
The difference between Homie Rollers though and the Ninja Gaiden arcade game is that one of them became one of the most successful gaming franchises of all time.
Basically,
Homie Rollers hasn't had time to grow.
Homie Rollers 3D. GameStop confirms February 1st release date.
Oh damn! All right,
yeah.
First in line for that shit.
Yeah, it's not part of the June apocalypse. Yeah.
No, I mean it's pretty clear that they knew this game was bad, or they wouldn't have completely redone it for the NES game.
Yeah,
you're right.
Anyway, that is.
Kind of difference you'd see? I mean, is it? You know, like the Super Mario Bros. Arcade game is pretty significantly different, but it still holds up.
Yeah.
I should say it's still fun. You can still play it. But you're saying this original arcade Ninja Gaiden is like, don't go near this?
Yeah. I wouldn't wish this game on my worst enemy. It's just so bad. There's just no fun to be had there. Like, you know, Mario Brothers for the arcade, like the old school Mario Brothers game, it's certainly nothing like Super Mario Brothers, and I wouldn't go so far as to say it's a lot of fun, but if you enjoy those mechanics, it at least executes those mechanics fairly well.
Yeah.
Ninja Gaiden takes a already questionable formula of something like Double Dragon and makes it significantly worse. I would take Double Dragon over this game any day. And like, they have weapons. You can give your character a sword if you find one, but they're incredibly rare, which is even more insulting by the fact that the sword is your indicator of how many lives you have left. I had to play the game for like an hour and a half before I ever got a sword. And then I lost it in like a minute, so I didn't even lose it by getting hit, it just went away.
Yeah.
Ugh, What a load.
Nice.
I'm done. Nice.
Timed power up.
Nathan, you were playing some samurai thing, weren't you?
You've written down that I'm playing Kung Fu Defense, Tale of the Littlest Samurai. And to be nice. Honest, when you put that up, I couldn't tell you otherwise, but I checked back on the DSi to check my DSi wear, and no, it's, oh shit, I've gone away from the game's title. Samurai, Dai
Say
Rojo,
it out of order.
Dai Rojo Samurai Defenders.
Fu Defense Littlest Kung Tale of the Samurai.
Dai Rojo Samurai Defenders. the little samurai that could.
Sounds the same to me.
Yeah, essentially. So, Andy, which of you two... Andy, I know you've played Tower Defense. Zach, have you played Tower Defense?
I might have, but I just don't
Any
know.
Any Tower
it.
Defense games? Well, Andy's played Geo Defense.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the genre.
Okay, so as am I. Now, in a tower defense game, you look down, and there's generally a path for enemies to follow.
Right.
Now, you expect that the enemies will follow this path, correct?
Unless it's one of the open world ones, which there are like a different style of tower defense.
Sort of like a defense grid or a field runners, where there's a place and you place obstacles, and
you make the path for
they
them.
Sort of. But if there is a path,
then yes.
So, for instance, then you wouldn't assume a bunch of kamikazes to then fly over the trees from the right side of the screen, top right side, everyone's coming in on the path, the bottom left. Don't use the path at all and just bomb your tower.
Well, generally there are flying enemies in a tower defense game. Not like right off the bat, but eventually.
But they do follow the path.
No, actually, usually in my experience, the flying ones generally don't. That's what makes them... treacherous.
Okay, but
they go over your towers.
Even then, they'll go over your towers, but they'll go along the path, or they will at least start where the other enemies start.
Yes,
these guys just sort of come from a random part on the screen that is much closer to your tower than you would have anticipated at all.
That's tough. Yeah,
and you're just like, what is this?
That's rough.
And at that point, you've played a little bit into the level, so you have to stop, restart, and anticipate them. And so it's just that right immediately. I was like, this is going to be interesting. And
yeah.
I found that the game gets so hard. And I don't know. I'm going to have to just buckle down and kind of try and beat a level.
Wow.
This is coming from, I blazed through Geo Defense Swarm in a day.
Those games are hard.
Yeah.
Geo Defense games are really tricky.
I went through Swarm in like a day to review it. So,
wow.
I can play some challenging tower defense, but frickin' Kung Fu no, that's not its name.
Sorry.
Samurai Defenders. Thank you, show notes. It's so hard, and you know what? Maybe I just need to learn the units or something. I've only put about half an hour into it, so I need to learn how to beat the diggers and stuff like
this
that.
This is maybe a little bit beside the point, but I want to get your thoughts on something. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, when Desktop Tower Defense was sort of making the rounds as the flash game du jour,
mm-hmm.
And of course, that was, for those unaware, Desktop Tower Defense was sort of the breakout game for the tower defense genre. And for all these kind of crappy tower defense games that we've had over the last 5 years, you can kind of thank that game for that.
Yeah.
And the good ones. When that game first came out, I mean, I loved that game. And I always thought, mm-hmm. man, why don't they just make this on the DS? That's what the DS needs a game exactly like this, and it's perfect for it with a stylus interface.
Yeah.
And yet, now that they've done that, and they've made Desktop Tower Defense exactly for that, for the DS.
Yeah.
Although I think it was a kind of a crappy version of it, but.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question. Do you think the DS is suitable for this kind of genre? I mean, it seems like it should be, but do you think it is?
I think it is. I think it's fine.
Okay.
I think that the price point of $8 for this game is a little much.
I'm just surprised that we haven't had a really good tower defense game on the DS yet, and it's not for trying. They've definitely been trying, but
I think that where the point we're at, it's like one in a million tower defense games that I actually enjoy.
Right.
We've reached saturation. The ideas are coming in very slowly. There was a pretty good tower defense game. Made by, wasn't it made by like the Q Games or something?
Was it Starship Defense on DSiWare?
I think so.
played that yet.
I don't know who made it, but that was pretty good. But yeah.
Did you ever play Ninja Town?
No, I did not. It did not look good to me.
It was okay, but I thought it was going to be better than it really was. I'm just surprised. I guess I'm surprised that considering how ideal the DS seems for that format, we've never really managed to have a tower defense game that I've heard of that has that same sort of can't-put-it-down appeal of like a Geo Defense or a desktop tower defense.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, that's all I really have to say about it right now. Probably won't talk about it again on Newscast, as I'll have the review up sometime between now and next episode. But as long as we're on the topic of tower defense, why don't we just roll into new releases?
Yes.
Hey, wait a second, Nathan.
Yes.
Where are you in that Ben 10 game? Did you put up that review?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure you got over that step.
I did. Yeah. It was the turtle.
Cool.
I complained. Gotcha. I have already complained about it on Newscast, and I.
But it was enjoyable.
No. anyways, so to I guess dredge up that
host again there?
Dredge up that segue. Speaking of tower defense, new releases. Plants vs. Zombies, for the Nintendo DS, $20.
$10 more than other handheld platforms.
Yep, we've got a date of 10/18. I imagine that is 2/18. No, January 18th. 1/18.
1/18.
Okay, 1/18.
All of these tens can become ones. FYI. I'm really bad with dates.
New releases looking far into the future.
Wouldn't this game be better on the iPad anyway? Isn't there an HD version on the iPad?
It already is better on the iPad. Although I haven't played the DS version. I'm speaking in ignorance, but
On the review for this game, actually. I should have it within a few days, and I will tell you for sure that it is probably better on the iPhone or the iPad.
I walked into the Best Buy, and I looked at the box, and I thought for a second, no. Because
I kind of think this game's going to be impossible to play without some sort of zooming in and out because of the resolution of the DS.
It doesn't look like they do that. Oh, yeah. It just looks pretty damn low res. Just looking at it. So heads up, Andy. you're in for some fun.
They pretty much managed to use the exact same assets on every platform it's come out on so far. They can't do that with a DS.
Actually, on the iPhone version, they had to change the assets. They gave the zombies a little bit bigger heads and switched some stuff around. It was basically the same, but they did have to do a bit of scaling to get it to fit properly.
The DS are going to have to do a lot of scaling.
Yes.
To be fair, this is a really fun game. I've already played through the entire thing on two different platforms all the way through, and I'm looking forward to trying the DS version, but my expectation that the platform is suited for this game is kind of low.
This is one of the cases in which graphical fidelity can easily affect the gameplay.
Certainly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Speaking of graphical fidelity.
I reviewed Myst not too long ago, and it was really low res on the DS, and it sucked all the life out of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a very, very detail-oriented game, and when you can't see what's right in front of you, you're kind of broken.
Yeah, and plus when it came out, it was a game about spectacle anyways. You know, it was just fun to kind of look at all the screens and stuff.
So, yeah. Next up.
This is sort of a minor release, but I just included it because I did an interview with a developer, which I wanted to pimp. Jam City Roller Girls. It's a arcade sports title on WiiWare for 1,000 points, came out yesterday. And it's, I think, pretty much the only video game based on women's roller derby that exists at the moment, except for maybe a couple on the iPhone, I think. But I have a coworker who's on a derby team, and we've gone to see her matches a couple of times. And it's actually a good time. It's sort of a crazy sport. They get their ass kicked out there. It's kind of fun to watch. But I contacted the developer and did an interview with them. It turned out really well. So go check that out. If you have any interest in roller derby or this game, go check that out. My guess is you probably don't because it's not like all that popular. But I am going to be reviewing this when I get a code for it, but I haven't got that yet. So.
Yeah.
And the next game, I think I actually typed it wrong, 1942, not 1943.
Such a good game. Oh, my gosh. Staple at the Pizza Hut when I was little.
Yeah. It was at the
Shakey's.
I played
the crap out of this on NES.
So, it was on NES? Wow.
Hell yeah, it was. This one and its sequel, 1943, were both. The game we're talking about is 1942 for the Virtual Console Arcade. 800 points came out yesterday. This is one of those games that Capcom, what, like 5 or 6 months ago, like dropped several games they're going to be bringing out in the Virtual Console Arcade after none had come out for a long time, and this is sort of one of those. They've been slowly bringing those out. We had Ghosts and Goblins, I think, a week or two ago.
Yeah.
And this is 1942. And, you know, I mean, if you haven't played the game before, it's an overhead shmup. One of the original shmups, I think, actually. Hard as balls. Tons of levels. They're all almost the same. Like I said, I played the NES version mainly. And it's mindless fun, but it's also very difficult.
Hard as balls, you say.
No, it was...
Hard as balls.
Hmm. Balls.
That's it. That's all the new releases that I felt were really worth talking about. So I put them in the notes.
Yeah. I think that's all the newscast we have as well.
I think so too. Well,
the rest.
You know,
been
Dead Space 2 came out today. Isn't that a notable release? Oh, it's not for Nintendo.
No. Or for me. Yeah.
No.
Really?
No. Really?
Wow. It's...
Yeah. I didn't love the first one enough to play through it or the sequel. So.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah. That's it, though.
Suddenly have lost so much respect for both of you.
Right.
Aw. As if I had any in the first place.
Guy that wears onesies.
We should mention that. Good
yeah,
point.
Speaking of Zach's onesies, we have
a contest going on.
Yeah.
I thought it was a joke.
No.
I guess it's not.
No.
I guess this is real.
This is real.
So... The boys here demanded that I post pictures of myself on the forum thread for last week's episode. That's episode 37. So go to the forum thread for episode 37, and you'll see a bunch of wonderful pictures of me that cause Nate to laugh and mock.
Some of these are truly horrifying. I think you'll want to have any children exit the room. If you're pregnant.
I don't know about that.
Or thinking about
like
getting
I said,
pregnant.
I took all new pictures.
I don't know, Zach. Some of these. The one with the red beard, Zach.
Do you know what that is? That's Dr. Venture. I was Dr. Venture for Halloween one year.
Cool, I don't know what that is. And then,
Oh, Venture Bros!
Okay. And then the, topless Zach with a giant Final Fantasy-esque sword.
It's the great knife from the Pyramid Head. Duh.
Oh, I should have known that. And then the...
As is clearly indicated in the very next picture.
And then... I still didn't know what it was. And then the Zach in the dinosaur onesie, which was actually quite adorable.
There's two of them. And
yes.
I have two onesies, but I don't have a picture of the other one. The other one's frogs.
Mm. Anyway, so the contest is to Photoshop Zach into... anything. All the pictures are on that thread. We've already gotten 3 submissions. From one guy. I have a clear favorite of the 3.
Which one is it, sir? I wonder.
Yeah. That will be discussed later. And, Yeah, but the prize is some plushie from Fling Smash that Zach actually wanted, but we're not going to give it to him. We're going to give it to you for mocking him. So
yeah.
Send us your entries. I don't know how long we're going to keep this open. We probably want to have at least a couple of entries.
It really depends on how many entries we get.
Yeah. Otherwise, we're just going to have to call an end to it and give it to the only guy that has sent anything in, which I would be happy doing. You know,
beat that guy, listeners. Just get on the Photoshop and put a picture of me on a dinosaur,
and I will
judge it as the winner.
You're not going to get to judge it, Zach. You're biased.
No.
But yeah, it really doesn't have to be that quality. It's just we're looking for humor. So cheap Microsoft Paint job will do it. So, yep.
Indeed.
But that's that about the contest.
There you go. Again, episode 37 Talkback Thread. Check it out. Enter a Photoshop picture. Win a stupid-looking plushie.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Easy as
signed
that.
By Neil.
Yeah.
Email us at newscast@NintendoWorldReport.com.
Visit us on iTunes, you probably already got us maybe from iTunes, but leave a review, a positive one, please.
Awesome.
Cheap.
Yeah. No, no. Thank you, Zach.
Sorry.
Yes.
of course, yeah. Congratulations once again to Neil.
That's
right.
Big congrats.
Site director. He'll be back. He'll be back next week. We'll have a feature episode for you next week. I'm not sure we know what that feature is yet, but we'll have it for you.
I think it's just going to be us seeing the word Mario in rounds for
see,
full 40
happens,
minutes.
For people who don't know how this works, the director of the site is chosen. What happens is the director of the site is usually the oldest male. And when a new male wants to assume his leadership position, he challenges the old male. And so, you know, John Lindemann, who has been alive since the Permian era, they both went up to a mountaintop.
Neil being a mere Pleistocene yuppie.
Right. He's a youngling. But they had swords and they fought, and Neil killed John, took the number one headband, and walked down the mountain. And he emailed us all and said, John is dead. I am your new leader. There can be only one. And John's reign of terror is over.
Yeah.
Yay. I mean, no.
I don't know what to think.
So there you go.
Well, it's going to be at least a month until we see the fangs come out.
Oh, he's already threatened me with new assignments, so I'm scared now.
Yeah. Okay, but that's enough news, Cass. I can't take any more. I'm sure everyone else listening can't take any more. Let's
I just like your I really hope you put that in the stinger. That the attempt to read the letter.
Yes, listen after the ending music for that. And for now, goodbye.
Good night, everyone.
Goodbye, everybody.
Why don't you read this one off, Nathan?
Sure. You know what? I always thought this guy's name was Musselbert, but it's must be Bert from the forums. Wrote, like many others,
hey,
I played... Thank you for interrupting, Zach.
No problem.
That was your Ernie impression?
I've got a rubber ducky.
Oddly appropriate for a man who just posted pictures of himself in a onesie.
Oh, we have to talk about that at the end of the show.
Later.
I'm sure it'll happen.
Okay.
But continue. So,
yeah. Anyway.
Anyways, Must Be Bert wrote, like many others, I played the crap out of Mario Kart Wii when it first came out. However, after I unlocked everything, the online mode is really all I go back to. I have to say I'm really surprised that Nintendo still continues to release a tournament every 2 weeks. What surprises me, this is a mental note for me, edit this shit out.
maybe slightly dyslexic, sir.
Usually I say that before is that they are, so I confuse myself.
Take two.
And lack of capitalization. What surprises me about this is... Oh, fuck. okay, let me calm down.
Hello, American. Vote for me, good.
Oh my god. And I don't feel bad because I'm editing.
That'd be a great stinger.
I can't talk. I don't. Okay, I'll try.
Just read every other word.
I don't think I can. Zach, can you read it? Like, I'm going to start laughing.
Sure.
I'm serious.
Okay.
Just do it.
Must Be Bert from the forum writes, like many others, I played the crap out of Mario Kart Wii when it first came out. However, after I unlocked everything, the online mode is all I really go back to. I have to say I'm really surprised that Nintendo still continues to release a tournament every 2 weeks, as am I. What surprises me about this is that they actually are putting... Damn it, man! Is that...
Do I need to do this, you guys? I can do
shut
it.
Shut up, I can do this. Shut up, shut up.
That sentence, I can't do it.
I hate you. What surprises me about this is that they are actually... There, got it.
You ruined it by saying there, got it.
Shut up.